Ever notice how life's best stories don't happen in your living room? They happen on the open road, out on the water, or parked under the stars. At Progressive, they get that you want to focus on the experience, not worry about the what-ifs. That's why they offer quality insurance designed for your ride, whether that's a boat, RV, or motorcycle. Adventure with confidence. Visit Progressive.com and see how easy it is to protect your favorite way to get away. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in D.C. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're listening to this podcast, so I know you've got a curious mind. Here's a helpful fact you might not know yet. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $900 on average. Pop over to Progressive.com, answer some questions, and you'll get a quick quote with discounts that are easy to come by. In fact, 99% of their auto customers earn at least one discount. Visit Progressive.com and see if you can enjoy a little cash back. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $946 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2024 and May 2025. Potential savings will vary.
Henry, welcome to Cat on the Loose.
Okay, Cat on the Loose.
Yes, Cat on the Loose. Hi, Garrett. Hi again.
Hi, Cat. How are you doing?
I feel so honored to be here with you guys. Yeah. I am so excited for this conversation.
Of course. Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Let's do this fast and furious because I have a million questions for you, okay? Uh-huh. First, I want to start talking about the movie because I had Garrett on the show just a little while ago. He was talking about the movie that he has out now, Self-Custody. And we're hitting almost 100,000 downloads like in what, a week and a half? We're getting millions of questions about Bitcoin and everything. So first question to you. I mean, we all know you're like a top athlete. You're the most decorated, one of the most decorated fighter ever. How did you end up jumping into acting?
Well, honestly, it was just being good friends with Garrett. I think as a fighter, I've always kind of created a character, which is the king of cringe, the triple C. Is when you're a fighter, the way that fighters make money is based on how do you sell fights. You know, are you willing to go out there and promote a fight, antagonize your opponent? Uh-huh. So I was already acting prior to actually taking a role with Self-Custody. So I've always liked it. I've always had I never really pursued it, but I always liked the fact of really changing it up, like being just different. And when I got a little taste of that and then Garrett asked me to be in it, I'm just like, yeah, sure, I'll try it.
And what shocked you about being on the set?
What shocked me about being on the set on how many takes you got to take. Yeah.
You know? So what I would tell you is, first off, we filmed in Texas. And the day that we filmed, it was like 5 degrees in Texas. It was an ice storm.
Super cold.
It was so cold. So we're in this warehouse doing his scene. And he was in there for 10 hours fighting. And I don't think he realized it was take after take after take. But, you know, his training allowed him to be able to do that, but it was pretty intense, right?
I mean, I was sore. Can you believe that?
I cannot believe that. Because I don't want to talk too much about the movie, because if you guys haven't watched it, you should watch it. But your scene, it's an action scene. It's very active. Yeah. So those scenes are usually the most difficult ones, right? To shoot.
They take the longest, but here's the other thing. So the other actor that was in the scene with him is not a trained fighter. And so everything with him was all about how do we make it look real? How do we do safety? How do we do all these things? And then Henry steps in and he's teaching the stunt guys moves. And it was unbelievable. I mean, it was just obviously natural.
So you were also the fight coordinator in the movie?
I guess. I need a new title too. Actor and coordinator. But
you got to give him credit for that.
He definitely taught them some moves.
But, oh my God, that's...
But what I will say about acting is, like, there's such an art. I think every little thing matters. Mm-hmm. Not just from the production side, the lighting and things like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, just getting pointers from... from Coop in the movie. And I just felt like it was just a different level of respect that you start to really have, to where you don't want to oversell a scene, nor do you want to undersell it.
So true.
You know, so it was just those little details that I was able to kind of take. They're just gems, because it teaches you about business as well.
Oh, yeah.
But I would tell you this. He didn't have, a lot of people, you go into a room and it's 200 people. There's cameras everywhere. Yeah. A lot of people get hesitant. There's fear, anxiety. He just stepped right. I mean, he should be doing action scenes all the time. I mean, he was so good at it, had the charisma, nailed it.
I honestly, I did not know it was your first movie. So, because, I'm watching the movie And I had no idea. So when I went to read about you, when Garrett told me, you know, do you want to do the show with him? And I went, I'm like, really? I thought you had a lot of experience as an actor. I was surprised that was your first movie because I don't think that's an easy scene.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. You know, I think that's the fun part about it is, I guess that's my wheelhouse, like the fight scene, the action scene, and to be able to bring it to life and, you know, continue to keep doing that repetitive scene until we got the perfect scene.
Yeah.
It's just, it was, it's very satisfying. Why, by the time you get done, you actually see the whole movie come together. It's so cool.
It's the most fun part, right?
We have a lot more to come. So actually some of the guys coming down here, we have some big Hollywood showrunners. We have one of the guys that created Entourage coming down here, Gary Goldman. And we are pretty far along in the process of making it a show.
Oh my God. Yeah. Okay, I volunteer if you guys need a day player, if you need a hot Latina sidekick.
Yeah.
That like is so good, because you guys are kind of like your own entourage. You have like this good chemistry going on, right?
Yeah, yeah, you know, we have fun. You know, we
it's
have fun,
fun
together
working with your besties, right?
It is, man. It is fun. And then, you know, with Gary, I mean, he really stepped up on self-custody, man. I had no idea how good.
Come on in.
Come on down. You're the next contestant of The Price is Right.
Come on down.
Hi.
Where do you want to go?
We miss you. If you guys are listening to the audio episode, Mr. Adrian Grenier just entered the room.
It's Grenier.
It's gorgeous.
Come on in. Thank you for joining us.
Certainly.
I have
Gary's making a donation to my nonprofit.
Oh yeah,
we're happy to make.
We're blowing up the ranch.
I mean, it's all about nonprofit. I want to talk to. We need 10 hours because he told me about this experience that you guys did out in the woods, and I'm like, I'm next.
Yeah,
I am so.
Thank
next.
You. Well, we accept. We're teaching kids about healthy soils and healthy lifestyle, food education, the effect of food on their health and the environment, regenerative agriculture, the whole thing.
And that's so important, right? Like the place we are, I don't want to tell people exactly where we are, but we are like in this beautiful nature reserve. And I was talking to the owners of this place and they're like, oh, we've been here for 15 years. We wanted our kids to be raised here. And I know you talk a little bit about it with your kids and how they're being raised in nature. And I think so many people nowadays forget about, we get so detached from this life.
Well,
the way I see it,
it's about really teaching your kids to be sovereign individual humans that have agency in the world. They can take care of themselves. They know how to cook so they can feed themselves. They have nutrition independence so that they know where their good calories are coming from, and they're not eating the crap, so that they're healthy, their brain's working well. And that's, I mean, ultimately why I'm a big crypto guy as well, is that it gives you financial freedom, financial independence. So you put that all together so that like a well-rounded kid has the ability to feed themselves in the best way. They can be healthy. They can avoid the doctor. And then they have the financial ability to move about in the world so that when they want to build something or create something, all the barriers start to collapse because they're operating at a high level.
I love that. So he talked about crypto, so many questions, because when I had Garrett on
the
show.
We are talking about crypto, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay. We started off on self-custody.
We started talking about the movie, Adrian, because I watched the movie. I was super surprised that it was his first movie. I was shocked. I couldn't believe it because his scene is very, you know. So, yeah, A Star is Born.
And now don't go to his head, man.
No, seriously, A Star is Born. But then I was telling Garrett, we have almost already 100,000 downloads, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of questions from people because it's such a hot topic. Because a lot of people, a lot of people are like me. We know nothing about it. And then you watch the movie and you see, and I'm not going to tell you guys the whole movie, you got to go watch it, but you see that you can lose this money, and it's a big deal, right? If you forget your phrases, like in the movie with your character. So maybe you can answer differently than Garrett answered. For somebody out there listening and watching, and they watch the movie, they're, like you said, it's a great idea in terms of the future and for the kids, but how about the people that are really freaking out? What if this happens to me? How do I trust the system? What if I lose my phrases? How do you go about that?
Well, I think you have to go down to the sort of fundamental layer of what is money? Mm-hmm. What is money in the first place? And if you start to uncover the truth about what it is, it's about trust and faith in the currency. Mm-hmm. The reason why you take a dollar, an American dollar, and you go to the store and you can buy some gum is because the guy who's selling you the gum trusts that that dollar is going to hold value, yeah, so that when he takes it, he can go buy something else. So the entire economy is based on our trust and belief in that currency. And the government's job is to ensure the trustworthiness of that dollar by insuring it if there's, you know, an issue, or they have, you know, they basically back it. They're supposed to back it with actual.
Okay, honestly, I had been putting off getting new glasses for way too long. I'm always dealing with scratches, constantly cleaning them and just telling myself they're fine, because replacing glasses always feels like such a hassle, making appointments, spending a fortune, waiting forever. That's why I was so excited to discover Zenni Optical. It's an online eyewear shop where you can get prescription glasses, sunglasses, even blue light lenses starting at under $30. You just go to Zenni.com, choose your frames, upload your prescription, and they ship them right to your door. No appointments, no stores, no pressure. And the price difference honestly shocked me. A similar pair at a traditional eyewear store would have easily cost me around $250, but with Zenni, I paid under $30. I literally thought, why have I been waiting so long? At these prices, you don't have to overthink it. You can get a classic pair for every day, a fun pair, even sunglasses, and still spend less than what one pair would cost elsewhere. Zenni has more than 150,000 five-star reviews. And if you're nervous about buying glasses online, they even have a virtual try-on feature so you can see how the frames look on your face before you order. And once I started wearing my new pair, I just feel so good to finally have glasses I actually enjoy wearing. So if you've been putting off replacing your glasses like I was, check out Zenni.com, Z-E-N-N-I.com, and see why so many people are making the switch. If your glasses are overdue for a refresh, now is the time. Go to zenni.com/podcast and use code podcast15 for 15% off your first order. The styles sell out, so don't sit on it. That's zenni.com, zenni.com/podcast, promo code podcast15.
Money, you mm-hmm. know, in Fort Knox, they're supposed to be actual.
Supposed, right? Keywords.
I hope there's something in there.
I don't even think the government can service their own debt right now. So, yeah.
Well, then you start getting into the funny business
right now,
because
right?
The government then they uncoupled money from any hard assets, and the banking system now starts to take your money that you keep in the bank and they invest it somewhere.
Right.
And they're investing, they're loaning it out 8 times the amount of money they actually have in the bank. So then suddenly, it starts to become a little bit more insecure. So I would say Bitcoin is an answer mm-hmm. to a currency that is already losing faith and trust mm-hmm. and is giving people more reliability, more honesty, more trust, if they actually understand it and take responsibility for how it works.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I started learning when I talked to Garrett after I watched the movie, because I know nothing about it. But a lot of people are super afraid of jumping in. Mental health is a subject that is incredibly close to my heart. A few years ago, I lost my mom. She took her own life. And then about 2.5 years ago, my brother-in-law took his own life. These experiences changed my life forever and taught me just how important it is to seek support when you're struggling. The truth is, life can be overwhelming. Whether you're dealing with anxiety, grief, relationship challenges, stress, or simply feeling stuck, reaching out for help can be one of the most important steps you take for yourself. That's why I am so happy to be partnering with Rula, a company that helps people find quality therapists and mental health professionals who will fit your needs. Rula makes it easier for you to connect with licensed providers and supports a wide range of mental health concerns. If you've been thinking about taking the first step, if you've been thinking about talking to someone, consider doing that today. You don't have to navigate life's challenges alone. Rula's patients typically pay $15 per session when using insurance. Connect with quality therapists and mental health experts who specialize in you today.
at www.rula.com/cat. That's www.rula.com/cat. Remember, your mental health should not have to wait.
So one of the questions that we get over and over and over again is like, okay, I like these guys, the movie's interesting, but the movie made me scared because I don't want to be the dude that forgets the phrases. What is the baby step that you guys would write? If somebody out there is listening, they're like, okay, I want to try Adrian, this sounds good.
Well, and I would say, with respect to Garrett's character, he actually is on a learning trajectory. Mm-hmm. He is not responsible. He is not able to take care of his own wealth. He's actually in a bad spot, and he has to learn how to be sovereign.
You trust yourself more than you do the big institutions.
Yeah.
If you trust yourself with your own money, mm-hmm. more than you would an institution that's only going to guarantee it up to $250K.
Yeah, you mentioned that. But it has happened, like in the movie, with a lot of people in real life, right? That they misplace this pen drives, they forget the phrase. It has happened.
Any of us who've been in crypto, you're going to lose your shirt at some point.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Like, we've all made stupid mistakes.
Have you? Look at his face.
Henry, are you?
Henry?
I already asked you.
Are you in the fifth?
Crypto?
I'm pleading the fifth.
Henry, we were at the Bitcoin conference, and we went in some dollar machine there, and he got a bunch of cryptos. So
you did? Crypto. You got crypto?
He was the champion of the day. He got the most.
Yeah, serious?
I mean, obviously it's got to turn into something, but I don't
know. Well, Bitcoin crypto or just random?
What did they give us?
It was their own coin. I forget what the name of
the coin
is.
Yeah. It was what? But,
there's a whole bunch of coins out there.
God.
But if it turns into 200 million.
Well, then we're friends. For those out there that don't quite understand crypto or Bitcoin, is like imagine you have miles at the for your airline.
Yeah.
You understand that, right?
Yeah.
You're earning credits or tokens.
Yeah.
For that hold value, but it's not money. It's like United or a different airline.
Right.
Tokens. It's not dissimilar in many ways because they have, Bitcoin, which is a particular algorithm that protects it and makes it scarce and requires that you mine it in order to give it its value. And then you have shitcoins, which are just any random, they call them shitcoins. I mean, they do. They're like meme coins.
Okay.
They're any random, cryptocurrency that is like Camel Cash or something, it's like.
But listen, Adrian, I said miles, but miles, you forget your password, your account, la, 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 la. The fear, I think, and of course the movie, I know it's a movie, but it aggravates that fear for people that don't know anything about it, is because you only have so many choices. Like I said, you trust yourself, but at one point you have to trust someone else.
Yeah, but
if you pass away, like you told me you don't trust anyone with your
phrase. So here's the thing. A lot of people don't trust the banking institutions.
True.
Either.
But so what would you guys suggest? Like, who do you trust? How do you know for sure that you're not going to lose your phrases like it happened to, not just the movie, it has happened to some people.
I would say in order to have trust, you must become trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to be trustworthy, you have to gain the skill and the capacity to be responsible. So it really is it's asking you to be more sovereign and more responsible over your life. Frankly, there's so many people out in the world who I don't trust and they couldn't take responsibility. And there's a lot of people complain we're all just consumers, like we're working the day job, we're in the hamster wheel, and then we're just buying things and we just sit down and we watch the tube. We're passive consumers, as opposed to being actively in charge of your life. So I think it's an invitation to be alive, to like live
I
and
like
be
that.
Alive.
I like that outtake. I really do, because I know a lot of people are like me. They want to learn. Like, you know, funny enough, you probably know that. I don't know if you know that because of he's married to a Brazilian. I was born in Brazil. It's a huge...
I know. Talk about taking a risk.
Oh, I know.
Excuse me.
It's like taking a risk.
What are you talking about?
Who's really in charge in that relationship?
We know who's in charge.
Like, yes, ma'am.
We know who's in charge, right? Happy wife, happy life, right? But, you know, this is a huge market in Brazil. I think I told you when you came to my show, I had a client in Brazil, and the dude was like, I want to pay you in bitcoins. I was like, no, I'm not there yet. But in Brazil, almost every business person, I don't know if you know that, almost every transaction you're going to do in Brazil, that's how they want to pay you.
Yeah.
And so,
Dubai,
funny enough,
a lot of places.
So,
yeah.
I think we are behind in the United States than a lot of other countries.
Because we're complacent. Yeah, you have countries that understand it because their currency is so debased. It has very little value.
I know some pretty wealthy guys.
Salvador? Have you guys heard of El Salvador? Like, the country is booming, and I think their currency is all crypto, right?
They've been converting into the cryptocurrency.
I know some guys that are massive amount of wealth that have 80% of it in crypto.
Do you guys think that it's also, I'm not saying everybody, I'm not saying in big part, because in terms of, like, you know, evading taxes, money laundering, moving.
You got to pay taxes on the gains, but a lot of people try to get around.
Right, but I'm sure in Brazil, nobody pays taxes. And it's
US.
Easier to move money, like, from country to country, border to border. So it probably does attract a lot of this illicit activity.
Why did you look at Garrett when you said illicit activity?
Yeah, what?
No, because I'm looking at all of you. I don't know. I'm looking at
all
of you.
In the movie, they're the bad guys. Henry's the bad guy.
I asked a similar question when he came. But that's what. That's another question that a lot of people send us. Oh, you know, Bitcoin's going to attract all the crooks. Everybody's money launderers. So I'm asking you guys.
We just came back from
the
Bitcoin conference, and we met with a lot of pretty sophisticated, good business guys. So, I mean, I
would say the only reason why the government's upset that all the crooks want to use Bitcoin is because they'd prefer if the crooks used dollars.
Yeah. That's true. That is true.
I mean, to date, like, you know, how many crimes have been committed using dollars?
Oh, my God, every day, right?
So, I think that's just a big excuse to make you afraid of it. You know, I would say, you know, the hand of the tool is determined by the user. So a hammer, you can build something with it, or you could break something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies or dollars, for that matter, they're a tool.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could do good with it or you could do ill. And that's just the reality.
I love the way you put it. Yeah, very well put. Now, when you guys are making the movie, and I also told Garrett that I was watching the movie, I love it. It's very suspenseful, lots of action, very quick. I wanted more. I'm like, I wanted, when I saw your character,
you want,
I'm like,
another episode,
I want to see.
You want a show, right?
Yeah, I want. Yeah. I'm like, did you guys have that vibe when you were filming? Like, this is so cool.
I think that's where the movie kind of leaves it off. It's like a little bit of what you said, because even when I saw it, I didn't see the whole movie until we actually premiered it with, you know, I was able to watch it with Adrian and Garrett.
Yeah.
So when you do see the movie, you're like, fuck, like, I want to know a little bit more about where this could go.
Yes.
And then going to the crypto fan, you know, the whole crypto conference a week ago. It's about a week ago.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It was just like, it's eye-opening how there's such a big market. So, I mean, there's thousands of people at this damn event. Mm-hmm. And just imagine worldwide the people that couldn't actually make it.
But we are pretty far along in the way of a show that we are doing.
Oh, that would be so cool.
Around the crypto culture.
Yeah. That would be
Entourage
so cool.
2.0?
No, I'm booked. I'm booked on this project. I got to say, you know, a testament to Garrett. You know, we've been working together for a while. And, you know, we've taken some time to get to know and to trust. But he's so talented that, you know, You know, like you said, like, we don't know what this is going to be. Turned out amazing, which, you know, is like, okay, so now I feel like we could actually build something like that would be a household show that people love and want to watch. So, you know, that's why I'm sort of putting all my energy towards making this show. And this is going to be sort of, in my mind, my next
big thing.
I love that. I think that would be really cool because it's a hot topic. It's a hot subject. Obviously, you guys have, you know, work chemistry, right? You know each other for so long. I think that's a fantastic idea. And when I, like I said, when I was watching the movie, I'm like, I want to know more. Like, what happened between you? What happened in the past? What's going to happen?
Exactly.
Is he going to recover from this chaos?
What you watch would be one plot line of many plot lines that all kind of come together for this crypto culture. And
Yeah. So I have to ask you, because obviously your life changed a lot. You moved to Texas after finding massive success with Entourage in Hollywood. Your life changed a lot. So nowadays, how does that affect you in terms of which projects you decide? Did it make you a lot pickier? Did that change in your mind?
I mean, frankly, I've always been picky. Mm-hmm. In fact, many people don't know, I turned down the role of Entourage. It's not that I turned down the role, I declined to audition. Because I was working on a documentary at the time, I was like, thanks guys, but I'm busy, I gotta, you know. And they were like, this is gonna be like the biggest show, like what, why aren't, and I was just busy. Cause you know, I'm really more driven about, you know, what creatively inspires me, and to do things independently allows me to express the things that are inside. So I don't do anything I don't wanna do.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah,
I love
typically.
That. You're driven not by the dollar signs,
no.
You're driven by the creative process and the story.
Yeah. I have a lot of stories in terms like the.
Please share.
So let me ask you, Andrew, how did you end up getting the role then if you were kind of like, eh?
So I was in Mexico at the time and I was sneaking into Cuba. I was sneaking into Cuba because I was going to make a documentary about Cuban hip-hop.
Sounds very Mexican-ish, but all right.
Cuban hip-hop.
So I was making a documentary about Cuban hip-hop, and I was like, I had to get into Cuba to like film or whatever. I had $1,000 to my name. And I was like, okay, that's probably enough money for me to go film. And then when I get home, I got to get a job. And my manager was like trying to reach me. And this is a long time ago, before cell phones and all that stuff. So every couple of days I'd go to the internet cafe and I'd buy a little card and I'd get on the internet and check my email. And I had all these missed emails from my agent, from my manager at the time. And he's telling me about this show. And I was like, yeah, no thanks. And then a couple of days later I'd go back and he'd be like, what do you mean no thanks? Like, but so it was like a long process. And then eventually he's like, call me. So then I had to go get one of those cards with all the numbers, go to the payphone.
Calling card.
I called him and I was like, yeah, you know, I don't really do TV. He's like, it's not TV, it's HBO. And I was like,
so cool.
I was like, I don't have cable. I don't. So I was pretty indie rock, indie filmmaking, living in Brooklyn. So I was like, I don't know. It's like, I read the script, it feels a little superficial. I was like, I don't know if I like their values.
I love that. Oh my God.
And then my manager said, and I'd said no to so many things for so long.
Yeah.
He was like, listen, if you don't come audition for this, you can find another manager. And I thought about it. I was like, okay, at a certain point, if I keep turning my back on Hollywood, Hollywood will turn its back on me.
Yeah.
So I had the wherewithal in the moment to have that, like, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I should go do this.
It might be a gimme for them.
Yeah.
Also, because, so I ended up saying yes. And
how did the process work though? Like, so when you auditioned, how many people were actually, like, how did they narrow it down? Was it right away that you got chosen?
Okay, so it also worked in my favor.
Uh-huh.
That's why you can never second guess your instincts, because who knows what they're looking for. You try and be what they want you to be, and then they're looking for the opposite.
But also maybe, like you said, because you were so chill about it, it's just your personality. Because I always believe people smell desperation. In any industry, but obviously in Hollywood, right? I think sometimes people show up so nervous desperate. But if you show up like really chill, or if you don't show up,
because everybody in Hollywood that was a male actor wanted to be Vincent Chase, so they were thirsty, and they're like, who's this guy who doesn't even want to show up? And so the character, like a celebrity, doesn't audition.
Right.
They get offers.
Yeah.
So they're like, that guy, like, there's something about his quality. So then when I came in, it was just literally, the tail end, they had seen everybody. They were desperate. They didn't know who they were going to have. I waltzed in, I did my little thing. And they were like, he's the guy.
That's it. Yeah. Destiny. See, destiny, right?
Now with self-custody.
I auditioned like seven. I put it through the ringer.
Oh my God.
Garrett, please.
I actually wrote the words in the script. To make sure that I knew that they would be coming directly out of Adrian's mouth and he couldn't say no.
Yeah. When I read the script, I said, Garrett, how do you know the way I think and what I like? And like,
this is my character. You guys been friends for a long time, right?
Yeah, we've been working on other projects and doing all sorts of stuff. So, yeah.
I think that helps a lot, right? When you're working on something together.
Yeah, and I knew that the dialogue, the monologue would relate pretty heavily to him, because to get Adrian to do a short and do all that, but it was more of a proof of concept that now, like I said, we've tested the market. We know that the Bitcoin market has a huge audience out there. 200
we know
million
Henry
people
can
are registered.
Do fabulous fight scenes.
We know Henry is ready. There's been a lot of fighters actually that have converted over to action stars, and I think Henry's the next one.
There you go. That's so cool. Now
be water.
If they wanted to do like bring back Entourage, would you be game?
Only if they make a cameo in self-custody.
Well, I'm sure they would do whatever you would want, because Garrett had this great idea. Remember, you said like that would be the perfect comeback. Like they would have to go to your ranch, you and convince you to come
Adrian's
back.
Adrian's got a beard down here. He's out there ranching, and the guys come back and they try to resurrect him because the guys are all struggling now in Hollywood and they need their star back.
Would you consider it? Redoing Entourage?
I consider everything.
I like that. You're open-minded to...
What'd you say?
What'd you say?
Self-custody.
Yeah, I mean...
He's like, no, only self-custody.
Self-custody first.
We're pretty far along this process. I think, if I'm a betting man, we'll be making this for the foreseeable future, and I'll be busy, so...
That's busy is great. Yeah, now, busy. I have a question for you. Don't have kids. You have two beautiful babies. You have two beautiful
babies. Who doesn't
have
kids?
I have three kids.
You have three kids?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, 12, 10,
Holy
and 8.
Cow.
Yeah, I'm like, wait, Garrett, are you denying your kids, Garrett?
Yeah, two kids, three kids.
No, I thought you didn't have kids. He has two little ones.
Two little ones.
We have little babies, and he has...
Okay, so all three of you can answer. But if your kids came to you in a few years and said, in your case, they say, I want to be a fighter, because I want to be like my dad. In your case, they say, Dad, I love it here, like, but I want to move to Hollywood.
Oh, my God, no.
So you're like, you're not going to be supportive.
Not till you're 18.
His son has never seen a screen.
Oh, so they're like super.
Really? Is
it that? But
he's got the gift. He looks at you, he smiles, he knows how to work.
He's got Adrian's eyes.
He's a stud, man.
So you cannot let Garrett get near him before he turns 18, because Garrett might put the camera on
I think we already, in self-custody, we already have some kids that we need to have in it, and it's perfect age.
It's difficult because he is, I love my children so much. They're so photogenic, and I want to put them in, but I just don't think it's right for the way we're raising the kids to put that kind of pressure, because I'll be honest with you, there was even one moment where I was shooting a little something and we put him in it, not for any reason, but just for the little moment. And the director in me is like, no, do it again. You got it. And I start to take away his natural moment of just being himself. Mm-hmm. And now I'm trying to get him to perform. Mm-hmm. And then I just saw that it was becoming, he was becoming uncomfortable and he didn't want to do it. And then I was getting frustrated that he wasn't doing it. And then I was like, that's because it's all fun and games until you have to meet the day. You have to get the day done.
Yeah.
And there's frustration and there's adult energy. I just don't think it's...
It is hard. I have just... Yeah. I was a child actor because my dad was a TV producer. I started working on TV commercials when I was four. And it's hard for kids.
Yeah.
Like you said, sometimes if you're on set 16 hours, 18 hours, the adults, like you said, they're screaming at you and telling you and telling you and telling you. They don't understand the pressure on a little kid.
Yeah.
It's tough for kids. But they might come. And your kids, are they asking you to work in Hollywood already?
No, I don't
think... They're a little older, no?
I don't think they want
to. They're not
interested.
My
eldest is a really good singer, so I think she has interest in singing.
Oh,
but
cool.
The other ones...
Okay.
But they might come to you and say they want to give it a try, right? Because maybe it's in their blood.
I mean, I think they can try it for, you know, a little after-school program or something, or put on a little play, but not professionally.
Drama class.
How about you? If your kids look at, they're going to find out, they're going to know what you do, and they say, I want to be a fighter.
I'm going to give them a book. No, I'm just joking. I think my biggest thing is I want my kids to go after something. If they decide to fight one day, like, I believe.
Okay, honestly, I had been putting off getting new glasses for way too long. I'm always dealing with scratches, constantly cleaning them and just telling myself, they're fine. Because replacing glasses always feels like such a hassle, making appointments, spending a fortune, waiting forever. That's why I was so excited to discover Zenni Optical. It's an online eyewear shop where you can get prescription glasses, sunglasses, even blue light lenses, starting at under $30. You just go to Zenni.com, choose your frames, upload your prescription, and they ship them right to your door. No appointments, no stores, no pressure. And the price difference honestly shocked me. A similar pair at a traditional eyewear store would have easily cost me around $250. But with Zenni, I paid under $30. I literally thought, why have I been waiting so long? At these prices, you don't have to overthink it. You can get a classic pair for every day, a fun pair, even sunglasses, and still spend less than what one pair would cost elsewhere. Zenni has more than 150,000 five-star reviews. And if you're nervous about buying glasses online, they even have a virtual try-on feature so you can see how the frames look on your face before you order. And once I started wearing my new pair, I just feel so good to finally have glasses I actually enjoy wearing. So if you've been putting off replacing your glasses like I was, check out Zenni.com, Z-E-N-N-I.com, and see why so many people are making the switch. If your glasses are overdue for a refresh, now is the time. Go to zenni.com/podcast and use code podcast15 for 15% off your first order. The styles sell out, so don't sit on it. That's zenni.com, zenni.com/podcast, promo code podcast15.
Like the way that me and my brother started competing in wrestling, you know, we're raised by a single mother and we just kind of found the sport, but it was our given to actually do it. But we did play a lot. So with my kids, I just play with them a lot. Like, I'm a very active dad. When I'm with them, like, we're both getting workouts. Like, but they don't know that I'm invested in their physical talents, because the more that they run, they jump, you're able to break them down. That then they will decide on what they want to do in one particular sport. I would love for them to, like, wrestle, because there's no punches and knees involved. And it's such a, it's like acting when you're just, it's just you. You got to perform. Like, I want them to also feel that pressure a little bit. But
because, listen, if any type of fight, that's a really tough business sport, right? OMG, that's a tough one.
You think about what he does, going in the ring at the UFC.
I can't. Yeah. You know, I'm
some other guy's trying to kill you.
Listen, you know, being Brazilian, I'm a massive UFC fan. Massive, massive, massive. I have friends. I've been to fights. And I don't know how they do it.
Ask him.
Exactly. I'm like,
you know what
I so admire.
Can I tell you what
that
it is? It's just trauma.
It's just trauma.
Yeah. Same with acting.
You got to channel it from somewhere.
But it must feel good when you're punching somebody. Like, sometimes I'm like, I want to be.
Does it feel good when you're punching somebody in the ring?
I mean, sure. Like, after the knockout, but then you're like, I got to do shit again. You know? Yeah.
Are you thinking about somebody like that you're really pissed at, or somebody that did something to you?
I've been competing for so long. It's like, I knew that it was time to retire, where I just wasn't even excited anymore at all. Like, you know?
Does it become all technical?
Like, no, tactical more than anything. Yeah, it's tactical. Yeah, because you got to know when to kind of go in and blitz somebody or take a back seat, fill the time and then going for the kill.
But in between rounds, are you just thinking tactical, or are you thinking, I want to go out and curl?
In between rounds, I'm like, what the fuck am I doing?
What am I doing out here? I should be like,
What am I doing?
Where's Garrett and Adrian? I got to go find them.
Maybe next chapter, right? Actor, A Star is Born. Maybe I'm going to do something.
When self-custody takes off, you'll just see me more on the Hollywood movies.
Oh, my God, that's
You know what I do between rounds?
What?
I go to my trailer and I get some craft services.
That sounds more chill. That sounds more fun.
Yeah.
We practically do the same thing.
You do the same thing.
I would like.
You're listening to this podcast, so I know you've got a curious mind. Here's a helpful fact you might not know yet. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $900 on average. Pop over to Progressive.com, answer some questions, and you'll get a quick quote with discounts that are easy to come by. In fact, 99% of their auto customers earn at least one discount. Visit Progressive.com and see if you can enjoy a little cash back. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $946 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2024 and May 2025. Potential savings will vary.
To point out that Gary Goldman's here, who's one of the executives.
Come
with
here,
the show.
Gary. Come here.
Yeah.
Come here. I'm so sorry. I'm so into the interview. I'm trying to focus. You know, I do this script-free, paper-free, as you notice. Like, it's just off the top of my head, so I didn't even see. Come here, please. Welcome to Cat on the Loose.
Adrian likes what you just said, paper-free.
It's such an honor to have you guys.
Pleased to meet you.
Lovely meeting you. Come here. Squeeze in. Because this is organic. It's the topper. Everybody said, like, my show is freaking 100% organic. We don't edit. We don't script. Yeah. We're just winging it. Congratulations. I mean, you guys are such an awesome, like, you are your own little entourage.
Oh, no.
Do you want a girl in there?
A girl? Oh, in the self-custody? We're going to have lots of female roles.
A Brazilian?
Yeah.
Like, Brazilian. You know, a Brazilian girl in there? Yeah. I mean, I'm tired of this entourage.
Trying to take down the, yeah.
You know,
it's a global experience.
There you go. There you go. See?
Yeah.
I promise I will audition for you as many times as you want, because I think you guys are so cool. I think you like have something like your friendship out of the project makes what you do flow so well.
I think Adrian can attest to this, that the reason people loved Entourage so much was because it was truly, its core was about friendship. Yeah. And I think when we as a team make our best stuff while communicating and being friends and respecting each other's families and boundaries and also like really being able to dig in.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I was probably one of the top Entourage fans. I was obsessed with the show. It made me like, to this day, I swear to God, if I'm sad, you know, like having a bad day, I go and I watch a chunk of it. Wow. To this day, it just makes me laugh. I love watching like the places that we used to frequent. We used to go to those places, you know, like
the old LA.
Yeah, the old LA. Yeah. I don't know what they did to it, but it was the places we were hanging out. And I'm like, it just I love that vibe and the connection you had with the guys. The dialogue is like so cool.
The fan base was great, but Doug Ellen's dialogue was just unmatched.
I don't think and I tell everybody that I have many friends in the industry that I love, but I don't think to this day they've made another show like that.
Everyone thinks that dialogue was that these guys were just making it up. It was on the page.
It was on the page.
Yeah, we used to get our knuckles hit if we didn't get the word perfect.
Really? It was like,
are you perfect? Serious?
Oh yeah.
By me.
No,
not by you.
No, we didn't get it word perfect yet.
Yeah.
Not yet. We will.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, at least one or two times.
So you have to get it word perfect and make it feel like it's natural.
That is the difference between TV writers, I think, and feature writers, because features, there's a little bit more free form, I think, going on.
You might have a little bit more time. Depends what the feature is. I don't know.
And who are the directors?
Yeah. Do you think it changed? Maybe now people have a little more leeway?
No, it's the same.
No.
It depends on the writer.
It depends on the
showrunner of a TV show.
Yeah, some writers are like, these are my words, they are exalted.
Well, and here's the other thing. Sometimes
people are not as precious.
And sometimes something that's said in episode one could impact something down the line, too. And there, you know, so there's a whole strategic side with
that the actors might not know about, exactly, that there's storyline coming down.
You know why you want that specific thing, right?
That's being generous, but there's also just sort of like a neurotic, like I hear it in this way, and it's sort of got a rhythm to it. You know, and you know, I mean, it's like Shakespeare, you got to get it word perfect.
But don't you find sometimes when you're acting out a scene that if you can change the words a little bit to fit your person, it makes it easier. Like when you do a lead into a scene and now you're kind of,
honestly, the thing that frustrates me is when you don't have an ample rehearsal period where you're like, okay, you want it word perfect. There's a rhythm that you want. Let's work on it so that I can get that rhythm versus, oh, we're running and gunning and you want to get it word perfect. And it's, you know, and
rhythm's the right word.
Yeah.
Because there's like a,
like I think about like David Mamet, like if, like his words are so beautiful and they work in this choreography almost, but I imagine they rehearse like on a Mamet piece.
They must
rehearse,
right?
It's like a play, a play you wouldn't improvise.
Yeah, but I also like that's also the school that you come from. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like other people who have never acted before, like myself, is like, oh yeah, just go and this is your little part. I think for you, the fact that you came from that, how you kind of developed the art has been through what you're saying, drilling.
Judd Apatow, I've heard, I've not worked with him, but will run comedy scenes, just keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, and again, and just keep the rhythm going, and then improv, and just really, he comes in and out of set, like that's kind of where it's not word perfect. It's like, this is Curb Your Enthusiasm. It's just, this is in general. I'm going to come through that door, and we're going to meet, and we're going to talk about going to our agent.
How are you going to do?
Comedy's a whole other animal. I've done 15 movies now, and I have not done a comedy.
Wow.
It's one of those things that I because you're right. I think you have to try it 20 different ways.
You must let the cast breathe.
Yeah.
I think comedy is the toughest, right?
Yeah.
Unless you're funny.
It's the one as
but
a director.
It's hard to find somebody who is organically funny.
Yeah, look, you get Will Ferrell or something, you kind of let him just roll.
It's really hard.
Yeah.
No, I just thought about a question for you, Adrian. When you were doing, when you were doing Entourage, you mentioned like you were super chill, you're doing this thing in Cuba, then all of a sudden you jump into this massive show, massive audience, and it was a lot about the lifestyle, right? This guy, he's an actor, all the attention, the women, the cars, la la la. Did that translate a little bit into your own life, like real life, what was going on with you at the time? Because of course you were getting massive attention that way. Did that mix it up in your head at the time?
My celebrity rose as the show's popularity grew, and you know, inevitably it rubs off because it actually serves the character to have the kinds of experiences that I was having in real life. I was able to bring those experiences to, and in fact, you know, Doug and the writers would mine our experiences from the night before or whatever to put in the script. You know, we would tell, we would sit down at, you know, Video Village and wax on about the night before or the party that we went to or the experience, and you know, inevitably the next week it's in the script and you're like, okay, here we go, we're gonna like recreate, you know, it's like a reenactment almost in many ways. That was part of the freshness. And also, I mean, the dirty little secret that everybody knows is it's a fun lifestyle. So, of course, we...
Very fun lifestyle,
of course, we indulged it from time to time. On a professional level, but, you know, we did.
So, somebody out there listening that maybe a new actor, somebody trying to jump in the business, and you guys can jump in and help the answer as well. What would you, how do you not let it go? Because some people let it go up to their head to the point of no return, right? Yeah. They go nuts, they start doing like tons of drugs, they go crazy. How do you manage that?
What we were talking about before, when I was resistant to Hollywood, I was doing a documentary, it was obscure. And then one of the reasons I agreed to it was partly because I only had $1,000 to my name, partly because my manager threatened to like...
True story.
Yeah.
True story.
Partly because my manager was threatening to like...
So this is early 2000s.
Yeah. 2001, maybe.
Yeah.
And then the other reason was I felt like I was old enough to be able to endure the Hollywood experience. Mm-hmm. There was something intuitive in me that I was like... if I became famous, or because I had a lot of opportunities at a younger age too. I was working from like 20. I don't think I would have been able to navigate the lifestyle or the celebrity the way I was able to at an older age. And even then, at an older age, I still found myself in some of the pitfalls. And I had to ultimately, later in life, you know, come back from that and unwind from that experience. It's a very corruptive and destructive experience. I mean, it's unnatural to be known and to be, you know, given approval by random people you don't know. And
yeah,
it's just a weird experience. And everybody who's famous has to deal with it on some level.
Yeah. Was there a turning point, something that happened that you decided, I want to move to Texas, I want to get out of here, I don't want to live here anymore?
Yeah, I was like in my midlife, and I was without a partner and no kids and still doing the same old shit. It's like, so we got to do something
here. Okay, so you moved to Texas solo then, when you moved to Texas?
I did, yeah.
Wow.
I actually left the business entirely. I remember quitting acting with, well, I did quit, no, I didn't, it wasn't in quotes, but I quit acting for a period. I called my agents and I quit and I started bawling. Because it was like, well, who am I? What am I now? I have nothing without like the identity of being an actor. Yeah, and I quit it all and clawed my way back to self.
Yeah, in wrestling, it's called the Olympic Blues. It's like when you win an Olympic title, they said, like, you reached such a this crazy high.
Yeah.
And then, boom, you drop it to the low.
And,
like, what?
And
the
you,
did, fuck?
You were the no. You were the youngest Olympic champion, right?
At the time, yeah. But because I can kind of somewhat relate to Adrian, especially him saying goodbye to his agent. It's almost like that's been part of your identity. It's like, how did you start finding yourself?
Yeah.
Or because I think sometimes we forget that that's part of who the hell we are.
Yeah.
You have an ability and a gift, and you've used that.
Well, you have to. I mean, it's an ego. For me, it was a spiritual transformation, an ego death. I had to, like, think about who I wanted to be, what I wanted to be, and I realized I wanted to, you know, work the land, have a family, get married.
Yeah.
And give myself to a future potential through my children.
Wow.
So instead of being like nihilistic, and yeah, I think in many ways the indulgence comes from a nihilism and like your fear of your mortality. But if you want to live infinitely, you pour yourself in your kids, and they continue the story, the legacy unto the
legacy,
future.
Yeah.
And I think you found a good balance, right? Because now you have this wonderful life there, the peace, the way you're raising your kids, and when you find a great project like Self, because you're like, you
exactly.
know what, this is worth it. I'm gonna go and do it.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what we all want, right? To find. To be happy in our personal lives,
yep.
right? And do something that you shouldn't have to give that up completely.
No.
Right?
No,
because for an artist, like, I can imagine you like crying, because I think we all agree, if we're not doing something we love, you feel like there's a piece missing.
Yeah, well,
right?
when Gary came, when we started talking about this, he's like, I only want to work with people, you know, that I want to work with, you know, that I can call a friend.
Yeah.
And I think that's totally reasonable. I mean,
yeah.
So many people bend over backwards and they sacrifice their experience to work with some asshole who
oh my God,
doesn't.
We all have horror stories.
Well, sometimes if you have $1,000 in the bank, we have to put up with some assholes.
You got to work with a lot of not friends.
Right, unfortunately, you got to eat a lot of frogs.
Well, now you can.
Yeah.
I feel like every project you do, you kind of bring the people that you
yes.
relate to and some people, mm-hmm. the good people,
yes.
and you kind of keep growing and growing until
I agree.
Now you come to self-custody, and here we are rolling.
I think the good people find each other, right, somehow. I feel like that in my work. I started this show, like, so organically. And I meet one amazing person, and then they introduce me to another amazing person, and another, so everything grows organically, and I love that feeling, you know, that people, we gravitate towards each other, because we know, like, they were nice people.
I think what you asked earlier is about for your younger team out there trying to come in, they have an opportunity now more than ever, certainly when we did coming up, to shoot their own stuff and work with their own friends and try and be successful at that point.
Like, yeah.
Anybody could shoot a movie right now on that camera right there, on the iPhone, and put together your young ensemble. Yeah. Now more than ever, but
be proactive,
still...
right?
If I was 21, 22 out of film school,
yeah,
I would 100% get into doing a few verticals right out the gate, because you could do them so cheap, and you could get cool plots, and you get the whole
just
experience.
Shoot.
Yeah, just shoot. Yeah, just shoot. Shoot.
I think a lot of people always sit at home waiting for opportunities, right?
Yeah.
They just like audition and they hope for the best. They audition and they hope for the best.
My kids are a little older and they're in college right now, and I get calls from their friends asking for some advice.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, and they're like, they want to be a writer, they want to be an actor. I'm like, just you're saying you want to, just do it.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. You're in college right now. Is there a film school? Is there a way that you can do some short films with your friends? Like every single experience, even after the venerable years that we've put in right now, it's after every experience you still learn more. Like every single show that I do, even after one day of work, I'm still like, wow, I did not know that. I'm still learning.
Yes.
You incorporate.
But that's the beauty, right? We're eternal students, right? Of whatever it is that we're doing, right?
That's why we're here now. We got a meeting to talk about the show.
Yes. Yeah. Guys, thank you. It was such an honor having you. Congratulations. I really love the movie, and I really cannot wait until it becomes a series. Congratulations on your first acting gig.
Grazie.
You did so well. Now you have a new career, an extra career. Thank you for coming. Thank you, Adrian.
Toodaloo.
Cheers.
I need to ask one super quick final question to you, because I know they're going to kill me if I don't ask. Devil Wears Prada 2. I'm so sorry. But a lot of people are disappointed that you're not in it. There's a lot of comments.
Shall I answer that for you?
If they would have called, would you have done it? Did it matter? Are you going to watch it? Do you want to comment?
I think everything works out for a reason, and I look forward to the self-custody series.
Okay. Love that answer.
And I think you haven't seen the last of Nate, in my opinion.
I cannot wait to see more of Nate, and I cannot wait to see self-custody series. Congratulations, guys. You're the best.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Toodaloo.
Thank you. Toodaloo.
Relax and let Kroger Delivery handle your grocery shopping this week. We start with only the freshest items. Then carefully pack your order in our refrigerated trucks. And our cool trucks keep your food fresh right to your door. Fresh groceries your way with Kroger Delivery. And right now, you can save $20 on your first delivery order. Kroger, fresh for everyone.